This is the MNC Mindset.
Hey guys, this is Sheila again, episode 8 of the MNC Mindset podcast. Couple little things to go over pertaining to MNC and just the CrossFit world in general, and then we're going to get right to Louie's interview, aka Angel. And you'll find out a lot about that in the interview. Really good interview. Learned a lot. Kind of piggybacking on the Facebook post that he did for the when we did the open workouts of learning about your fellow CrossFitters. So just getting a couple little things out of the way. This week is the semifinal workouts. We've got a bunch of people that are going to be doing that. Heather, Sharon, Arlene, Andrea, Courtney, Carmen, Pat, and Gary will all be doing those workouts. They have two that are to be done before Saturday night and two that are to be done before Monday night. All four of them will get released. I want to say it's on Wednesday, so try and cheer them on when you see them. I don't know when everybody's going to be doing the workouts, but I'm assuming a lot will be done on Friday. So if you see them doing all something weird, that's what it is, and cheer them on. And to piggyback on top of that, this Saturday at CrossFit Charlotte, there are going to be two teams going to Festivus. It's an all-day thing. There's going to be four workouts, so please stop by, cheer on everybody. It's always nice to look up and see a bunch of friendly faces. Again, that's at CrossFit Charlotte. The two teams are Snatch Attack, which involves me, Casey, and Veronica, and then Chafing the Dream, which is Brad, Alex, and Brian. I don't remember when everybody's heats are, but if you want to message one of us, we'll be more than happy to let you know what it is. Again, 8 to, I think they said the last workout is going to be at, I want to say 4, so they'll actually be doing the podium stuff about 4:30, 5 o'clock. So if you have nothing else to do, come on, say hi, and cheer us on. In the broader CrossFit world, they have already done the team workouts for the semifinals, and actually the team that is from CrossFit Charlotte, the Grit House, HAUS, they got disqualified from doing the team's workouts because of one of the team members did not do one of his open workouts at his affiliate. He did it at the firehouse where he is employed. Trying to go off memory here, but I believe that's right. So unfortunately, the CrossFit Charlotte team will not move on in the open selection process. So sorry about that, guys. And if anybody has anything they want to announce, shout outs, businesses, promo codes, competitions, whatever you want to shout out for me, you can either get with me, or if you want to pass it along to one of the coaches, and they'll be more than happy to let me know that you want to do that. You don't have to record it if you don't want to. I can record it, whichever. Or you can email me at mncmindsetpod, P-O-D, at Gmail. I also just started up an Instagram account. Again, mncmindset. Go ahead and message me on that. And now, without further ado, our interview with Louie. Bye, guys. Talk to you later. Hey, guys. We're back again. And now I have...
Louie.
Rodriguez. But there's... Angel somewhere. Okay, so we're gonna get into that first.
Okay, Angel is actually my first name, and I grew up in New York in the Bronx amongst other Puerto Ricans, and Angel was a common name. But then when we moved into an Italian neighborhood, Angel's a girl's name, so it got to the point, just call me Louie, my middle name.
Gotcha. So, okay,
So if anybody's confused like I just was, there
That's
you
it.
go.
Yep. So everybody calls me Louie.
So you've been with MNC how many years?
I think going on six now.
Six. That's good.
So, yeah, my wife, she's constantly dealing with, health issues. How women, everything's all out of whack. And she saw the ad for CrossFit, so she was looking for somebody to come with her. And I said, "Well, shoot, I'll do it with you." And I've always hated working out. I ran track in high school, and I did the police academy, which I'm still trying to get the rope climb in. But I hated the PT in the police academy. Matter of fact, New York Police Department called me a year after I was an Orlando cop, and I just did not want to go through another police academy with all the PT again. But over the years, with the being a motorcycle cop, being a horse cop, being wearing the vest and the gun belt, I was always active, not formal exercising, but always active. So anyway, we started coming to the gym, and with her in the tax season, she was like leaving for 3 or 4 months, and then she'd have to start from scratch again. So that's how come one of the main reasons why she hasn't come back. But I miss her being here.
Oh, well,
She does
maybe.
all the math and do the weight
Oh,
measurements and
yeah.
everything.
That's the worst part
Yeah.
is bar math. Well, maybe she'll listen to this and then start coming back. You have to be like, "Here, honey,
Yeah,
listen,
look.
listen." Yeah, well, on that, if you have not read your little, so a couple weeks ago for the open, we had to interview people that we did not know, or along those lines. You put out this amazing like essay on people that and that have helped you along the way. If you have not read this, it's on Facebook on the members group, if I'm not mistaken. And oh
It's
my God,
an attachment,
that was like my heart grew
yeah.
five sizes. That was
Well,
amazing.
I've always, especially when I was a Orlando police officer, I would write stories about the experiences we were having while we were working. And really, police work is a lot about storytelling. You got to write the report, people tell you the story, and you tell this story so that it goes to court and so on. So you end up developing that skill where you tell the story. So with Orlando, I used to write stories for the retirees. So the guys that weren't there anymore, they could still hear about what's going on at the agency. And they always appreciated that. And come here, and I saw the stories being written about people that they were meeting, and it's like, well, I could probably write one of those stories, but about who? So then I started thinking about all the different people, and I started out with Jim. And Jim, like I said in the story, he was just a gray-haired old guy, and we kind of gravitated toward him because he's in the back of the room and he's going at a slower pace, a pace that I can keep up with. And he turned out to be a good guy to kind of hang with. And then he went on and moved on. And unfortunately, from what I've heard, I mean, my wife's pretty much confirmed it, but yeah, he's passed. And that
Oh.
was that. I didn't want to include that in the story. And then, looking at guys like Larry, here he is in a wheelchair and he's doing this. He's killing it. So if he can do it in a wheelchair, yeah, I can do it. And I've always dealt with asthma. So getting my oxygen in and trying to keep up with everybody. And then the funny story with Shay, that to me is like, I'm out there running, trying to keep up. But it's like, and she goes, "Hey, you're supposed to run the 800." It's like, oh, jeez.
I
Let
could
me turn
totally
around now.
see Shay looking at you and be
Yeah.
like, "What are you
What are you
doing?"
doing? I have since then run the mile. Matter of fact, I did it for the sheriff's office. The sheriff's, I've been retired from the sheriff's office about 6 years now. Was it 6 years? Anyway, I've been retired from the sheriff's office since 2016. And recently, I'm still a reserve, and recently they came up with like a PT program where all the officers had to do that. And I don't have to do it. And even if I was still there because of my age, I didn't have to do it. At least not to their level. With Greg's help, I did it. I mean, I wasn't doing it like a 30-year-old, but I did it. And we submitted the paperwork and everything. So, I mean, it didn't really mean anything to them, but to me, hey, I could still do this.
Oh yeah,
So,
that's awesome. So what brought you from Orlando to Charlotte?
my wife.
Hell.
I had 24 years down there. I was only 2% away from maxing out on my pension. On a Friday, I got offered the job up here to be a deputy sheriff. On Saturday, we found the house we live in now. We went home on Sunday, and on Tuesday, we got an offer on the house in Orlando. So it was like, God's will, opened up all these doors. So we packed up our horses and all our crap and moved up here. And this was a good halfway point because Laura, she's from West Virginia and her family's there. My family was still in Florida, so we were kind of in the middle. And my sister lives in Charlotte, so we had some family here and some connections here. So,
Wow, that's a whirlwind. Oh my gosh. So horses, you have horses, every little girl's dream.
Over 30 years, I got into, oh my God, this may take more than an hour.
We can do part twos, that's cool.
Okay, I was living in East Orlando within the city limits, and I was a cop there. And it got to the point where every time there was a domestic or a problem in the neighborhood, they'd come banging on my door. So I decided I need to find a house out in the county. So I moved out into the county, as far away from the city and still be within the county, and had a couple of acres. A buddy of mine asked if he can keep his horse there. Sure. Next thing I know, I'm into the horses. Got into the Civil War reenactment, traveled all over the country doing the reenacting stuff, playing, as the guys put it, going away on weekends to play cowboys and Indians. But I also, around the same time, I was working in low-income neighborhoods, and there were kids selling drugs on the street corners. So I got them involved into the horseback riding and doing the Civil War reenactment. So we got to go to Texas, Georgia. We did a presentation in Boston and got saluted by Colin Powell. We did a parade in Atlanta in front of Mrs. Martin Luther King. So I did some neat stuff with the kids. When we moved here, I couldn't keep up the funding because in Orlando, they were giving me confiscated drug money to run the program. And I was getting drug elimination money from the housing authority to run the program with the kids I was recruiting off of street corners, literally. Then here I'd lost that, but I was working at the alternative school. You ever hear of South Providence in Waxhaw?
Think so,
It's the
yeah.
alternative school. Constantly getting into fights there, and the kids were tough, but they were kids. So we built a corral in the back, so I would bring my horses to the school. And anyway, I taught the kids how to ride, and I kept trying to keep that program going, but I just didn't have the financial support.
Yeah, that's tough.
But yeah,
That's
I've
amazing.
got my horses.
How many do you have?
Right now I got two. We had as many as six. One of them, God, I'm getting off track of CrossFit here.
Oh,
One of them was named Miracle. And before I had Miracle, when I was in the mounted unit, I had a horse named Cheyenne. Well, Cheyenne was a crazy horse. Nobody else wanted to ride him, but I got to ride him, and we finally were at a point where he would do anything I asked. Well, he went into this area and he kept fighting me. So I went in, and what we were doing is checking for transients that would sleep in the bushes and stuff, and arrest them or whatever. So anyway, He kept fighting me. So, but he still went in. It's like he trusted me to the point where he went into this area. And literally, he just dropped down. I thought maybe, you know, we sunk in like quicksand or something. It was really strange. And then he finally just rolled over and died. So they did an investigation, and I mean, it was crazy. It turns out that a street light had been disconnected, and they didn't cap the wires on the ground. So the horse got electrocuted while I was on him. So the next horse that replaced him, they did a survey, and some kids came up with the name Miracle, because it was a miracle you weren't killed too, Officer Louis. So I rode Miracle for about 3 years after that. When I retired, Miracle was still in service. We moved up here. Miracle got retired, and they gave him to me. So Miracle is buried in my backyard now. He lived the rest of his life out at my house now. Aww. So, and then I had a total of 6 horses back then because of the youth program. And then after Miracle died, I think I had maybe 1 or 2 horses left. They passed too over the years. And then I'm here without a horse. It's like, and I'm looking to get a horse. I really wanted a Mustang. I want a Mustang car and a Mustang horse. But I've ridden the Mustang horses, and they are awesome. But anyway, I couldn't find one or get any. But I meet Nicole here. And she tells me about this horse, whose name is The Black. I was like, okay, that's kind of odd, but okay. And she says, it was given to me, and I just don't, the deal is you take him and don't bring him back. Okay. I think he threw her and she just didn't like him. But yeah, he's been at my house now for a couple of years now, thanks to Nicole. And he's, as a matter of fact, on Facebook, I posted a couple of pictures. I finally took him out with this weather and working and doing CrossFit. I haven't had time to ride him, but I got to ride him the other day, so I'm hoping to ride some more soon.
You collect horses like everybody else collects, but, like cats and dogs.
Yeah, well, my wife's the dog collector. She's got 2 now.
2.
She claims one of them is mine because it's the crazy one.
Do the horses and the dogs get along?
No, we keep them separated. I mean, it's they'll chase them and stuff, and anyway, they're okay. I got to keep them separated because, you know, a dog would jump up and just, you know, playing can cut a horse open, and that's, you know, $200 or $300 in stitches.
Yeah.
Or if the horse kicks out a certain way and hurts the dog, vet bills are just crazy. So I just can't separate it.
That's, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So do you have children?
I have one. He's 31, which is kind of funny because I meet Avery, who's a new member, and we're talking, and he's younger than my son. You know, here we are, gym buddies now. But yeah, he's got 3 kids, and we brought Hadley. I don't know if you saw Hadley. She's the 6-year-old. She's a real treat. She wanted to spend a day with Pop, like a Pop and daughter day or his granddaughter day, and she wanted to go to Olive Garden for lunch because it's close to Target. So we had a fun day, and then she came here and was sitting, you know, we watched the, was it Intramurals that mm-hmm. we did? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
That's awesome.
And she's got 2 little siblings, Cooper and Clara. Clara Jean is the youngest one. So it's 2, 4, and 6. So they're a treat.
Oh, wow. So you like being grandpa, being pops?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping in August I can start collecting Social Security, so that'll give me a 3rd pension, and I'm hoping that I can do more grandpa duties.
That's awesome.
Then, but I gotta wait for Congress, aka Laura, to approve funding for me to do all of that. So gotcha. That's where we're at with that.
Gotcha. So you, as far as like back to the gym stuff, is there anything that, like along your journey?
Well, okay, I'll tell you about the police academy. Two of the big things that I had to do in the police academy. One is we ran every day. So I can do sprints pretty good. Distance I'm horrible at. But I'll do the run. And I beat Jay every once in a while on the sprint. But the thing is like when he knows I'm coming up behind him, he speeds up, so he makes it a little bit more difficult. Matter of fact, Thursday I was able to beat him back in on the first warm up. The pull ups, I've been focusing on the pull ups. For me to pass the academy in 1979, when I was only like 21 years old, I had to do 7 pull ups. The first time we did 3 tests, the first time I couldn't do any. I think I did one. And then the second time I couldn't do any. And then on the final, where I had to do them or get eliminated, I did all 7. I hadn't done pull ups since then. Same thing with the rope climb. But if I have to, I can do 7 now. I do 3 easy, 3 or 4 easy, but I can do 7 now. I'm hoping if I can just get the foot clamp on the rope, I know I can do the rope climb. And all I just need one or two. And then like the muscle ups, I look at the muscle ups, and to me it's like I'm looking at it. It looks easy. And it is so much like mounting on the horse.
Oh, okay.
Okay? The difference is with mounting on the horse, it's a little bit lower, and I can put my foot in the stirrup. But your hand placement is similar. And I was doing it with a gun belt, a bulletproof vest, wearing boots, and sometimes a helmet.
Whoa.
Okay,
Extra
on a horse that's
50
16,
pounds, yeah.
it's about 30 pounds, 20 to 30 pounds, depending on what you're wearing. But yeah, it's like that is so similar to what it is to get up on a horse. Matter of fact, Christy Hearns, who used to come here, no, Hearns or Holmes.
I remember.
Christy, she came out to the house, and I was teaching. She got a horse, so I was giving her some pointers, and I was telling her, this is before I was saw people doing the muscle ups. I was telling her, like, go up to a fence, put your foot halfway up the fence, and lift yourself up. And then all you got to do once you're there is just swing that right leg over, and you're on. And shoot, I taught many kids that how to do that. And yeah, she's happily riding. She's got a neat horse now. And it was neat exchanging information with her. Matter of fact, she was one of the first people we met. I knew of her. I didn't really know her close. And then I worked with her husband somewhat. And he's running the CrossFit at the sheriff's office now.
Oh, gotcha.
So
Gotcha.
yeah, that was a neat interaction with
Awesome.
her.
So have you tried a muscle up?
Not yet, not yet. I think I'm trying to think. I maybe did once, but I had a box and the bar was low. I think I did it once, but yeah, I've looked and watched some of the folks doing it, and it's like, yeah, I think I can do that, but not
Yeah,
yet.
it's all technique. It's
Yeah.
all, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then with the horse, you don't get the swing in where you can do.
Yeah,
So
it's just strict
there's some
pull.
different points of it. Like with the horse, you have the stirrup, he's a little bit lower. But I also have the gear on, so there's more weight. In the gym, the pole is higher, and then you get the advantage of the swing to get up. So, and less weight.
Yeah.
So,
That's awesome. So, okay, so back to the being a policeman. What is your, I know me, I'm fascinated by jobs that are not my own, and being an officer totally like blows my mind that you will put yourself into situations, literally life and death. Did that, like, especially your wife? Was it just like a constant, like, oh my God, terror, adrenaline dump all the time,
well, not
or?
all the time. I mean, you get some of them. Well, I'll give you one story. We had to, this is I was young. A guy got kidnapped on the east side of Orlando. They gave us a description of the bad guy. They had this code that they would put out for us to basically cordon the entire city. So my spot, if you've been to Orlando, you know that I-4 runs right through the middle of Orlando, And on the way out, you run into Disney. So my spot was on the interstate with this officer who was a Vietnam veteran, incredible guy. And we're sitting there, and we got a description of the car, and it's got a taillight out, and the description of the bad guy. So we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, there they are. So we start chasing the guy, and he's not running or anything, and we don't have the lights on or anything. But I'm out here by myself, basically. I mean, it is dark. I got the shotgun, and I'm worried that we're out here all by ourselves. We make the stop, and we train for these what they call felony stops, but nothing goes down the way you're trained. So I remember we get out there, the driver gets out of the car, and he matches the description of the bad guy. My partner runs out there, jumps on the guy, and the guy's trying to crawl under the car. Well, it turns out that the good guy, the victim, was the driver. Bad guy's still in the car. And now my partner's right there. And then the other thing that worried me at that point, I look over my shoulder, and I didn't know it at the time, but there must have been 40 police cars behind me. I'm thinking, if we get into a shootout now, I'm right in the middle of this. All of a sudden, I see an Orange County sheriff's car do like a 360 in front of the bad guy's car, and they run up and yanked the passenger out. I mean, so hard that his boots came off and the gun was cocked and ready to go right on the floorboard. Now, the funny thing to me, thinking back, is with adrenaline, when it was all going down, I had the sights on the shotgun on the head of this guy. And then when everything was over, the adrenaline, it's like the adrenaline dump. I couldn't unload the shotgun. I had to get somebody else to come and unload the shotgun. I was afraid when I tried to unload it, it was going to go off. But yeah, I mean, and there's. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. And you can tell war stories. Like, I had another case. Oh, so many cases. But one case, we got into a pursuit. The guy crashes. Guy is in a pickup truck. One guy goes flying out of the truck. I go to get the driver. Turns out there's two guys in the front seat still. So I'm dealing with two guys. I'm trying to push one of them down. And you probably heard about like tunnel vision and all these things. When I went to push the guy down, my gun went off in front of my face. I didn't hear it, but I saw it. And later on in life, through the training that I've been through, I learned how the way the body reacts in those stressful situations, your heart is the part that needs the blood. So it'll take like your blood away from your ears and focus it to your heart. I mean, it's like the brain is just an incredible thing. And that's, I mean, you end up, and like the tunnel vision is the same thing, because now your adrenaline is going, your heart's pumping, and it's like it takes blood away from your eyes, so now you're not seeing what's around you. So, you know, stuff like that has happened to me. So when you're talking about adrenaline, that's what I think of, is what happens to your body. I mean, it probably happens out here too. When your heart starts pumping, it needs blood to come to your certain muscles in order for you to do what you need to do, and you get it done.
Yeah, I agree with that, because once the 3, 2, 1 go, nobody else matters. So.
But it's not at the same level.
No, not
It,
any.
and
No,
that's
no,
it's
no.
different. It is way different.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it's and it's at the time, it's like I didn't think about it. I just knew that I was shaking. It's like I don't want to unload the shotgun because I'm afraid that it'll go off. But you know, when you take classes or you start learning, like this one guy, Colonel Grossman, he was like a West Point psychologist and all this stuff. So he talked about all this stuff, and it's like you think back and it's like, oh, that's what was happening to me then. Okay, I get it.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely not comparing a class.
No, no, I don't.
Oh God, no.
But at a different level, it's still, I think it's still happening here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I actually used to live. I'm from Lakeland, which is right down I-4.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, so you're familiar with?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's not the same anymore either.
No, I used to, really not.
I used to do crazy stuff. I-4 used to have a median where it was all grass. So we'd get complaints about speeders on I-4. I'd be sitting out in the median on a motorcycle and scoot out to go chase speeders. You know, and I had a buddy got killed. We were doing funeral escorts. And another one got hurt so bad he had to retire. And I thought he was dead when I got to his wreck bike. But I think back now, it's like, holy cow, I was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I come here and we don't do anything like that here at the sheriff's office. Matter of fact, with the sheriff's office, did a lot of neat stuff there, but nothing compared to what I had to do in Orlando.
Well, Florida in the, at least I can attest, the 90s, the early 2000s, like, it was a Wild West sometimes.
Well, back then we had the Mario boat lift, so we had all the exiled Cubans coming in, and I had to work one wiretap, and this guy's bringing in cocaine from all over the place and everything, and what's funny with him is, I mean, we had this elaborate wiretap with this guy. We had so much information on him. I mean, it was a massive investigation. And then, like, I don't know, less than 10 years later, I'm out on the road. I stop this car, and there he is, driving a brand new Cadillac. I'm still driving my old Ford van, you know? It's like, holy crap. All the work that went into this guy to put him away, and he's here he is
here
out
is.
In the, Lorenzo Joran. I still remember his name. Jeez.
It's amazing the stuff that stays with you.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people now are wondering, have you ever been shot?
No. I'm trying to think. We, you know, if chase guys that we've shot at. Matter of fact, this one case, and it's kind of a long story too, but basically we ended up chasing this guy. He was a murder suspect, and the partner that I had, he was always smoking. And this time he had the shotgun. And he's yelling, "Stop! Stop, freeze, police, stop, freeze, police," while still with the cigarette in his mouth. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, it's like the guy just ran faster. And it was on a Halloween night, so now we're in neighborhoods and, you know, all the people coming out in their costumes. We had the sheriff's office helicopter was out there, and all the trick-or-treaters are waving at the helicopter. And anyway, the guy ended up turning himself in like 2 days later. Irving J. Seymour.
Wow, you're amazing with these names.
Yeah, but ask me about somebody's name out here, I forget. It's these strange names from 40 years ago that I remember.
Well, I mean, at least here we have the whiteboard, so you can kind of be like,
yeah.
What's the name of that board?
Well, I'm real bad with names. That's what I call, I tell the joke that I call my wife Baby, so I don't get that name wrong.
Yeah, that's definitely one that you don't want to get wrong. That's cool. We're running pretty long. I don't want to take up all of your Saturday
morning.
No,
if you've got any other questions, we can always do a part two.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Catch up with you later. So the prerequisite questions that I've been asking everybody. So what is the... in a workout, what is the thing, like, you see it in a workout or you practice it afterwards or whatever, like, this is my jam, this is what I love to do, yay, it's in a workout. Do you have any movement, anything?
You know, for me, I mean, like, I told you about, like, the pull-ups. I like doing the pull-ups because of where, you know, my relationship with them at the police academy. But honestly, it's the camaraderie here. You know, that's what makes it fun to come. You know, and I pick on some of them, like Jay. He's a good one. I pick on Larry. I remember one of the first jokes with Larry was, "Hey, when this guy used to come in here, he didn't have a wheelchair." But even, you know, it's like, it's all in fun. I don't mean any harm. I hope I don't. But with Jay, you know, he'll start out with the 10-pound plates, but he's got a 45-pound bar. And I'll start with 15-pound plates, but I got a 35-pound bar. But I'll pick on them, and it's like, hey, tens? Call them dime time. Dime time, because that's Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor. And he's told a story when he was training with a Green Beret. The Green Beret, he was a kid. He said, call them dime time, because he kept getting the 10-pound plates. But yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. And then there's a couple of goals, like, I still have a goal in my mind to get up that rope. I think I know I. And then the muscle up, because it's so similar to.
Yeah.
And then, well, like the pull-ups. When, and I know I can do three or four, but when we have to do like six, 10 times, or five, 15 times, whatever. So I'll pull out the bands, and then I'll do as many strict, and then get on the band to kind of make up, keep doing them. And then I'll come back, and I always try to finish up with a good strong three or four pull-ups when we're doing that. Same thing with the push-ups. I can do 10 push-ups easy. I'll struggle to get to 20, but when we have to do eight, it's like, gotta go to the knees. Do the I keep saying I identify as a scaled-down female.
And nothing wrong with that. I, as a scaled down female,
Yeah. So,
I.
and then one of the funny things that happened to me here is we had to get divided up in groups to do a routine, and they put me with the three pregnant girls. So at one point I was able to identify as a pregnant female. So, but I was able to keep up with them, so that's the good part.
That's awesome. What is your whatever your PR is, what's the thing that makes you proud?
The 295 deadlift.
295 deadlift?
295 deadlift.
That's impressive.
So,
What you didn't try for the 300 club?
no, because, well, I have, but it's like, no, this is too much. I don't want to hurt myself.
Oh yeah.
But I was able to do 295, and then the other day I was doing 255 with, I think we were doing like two lifts. So, yeah, so that's
That's very impressive.
for an old man. An old man.
Yeah.
And now,
It's
yeah, I
impressive
was
for anybody.
one of the things that I was proud of was being the oldest one here. And now we got this new guy, Ken, I gotta compete with. It's like, he beat me on the last intramural. It's like, and that was kind of funny
Do we need
because
to
we were
show?
both on the same team, and I didn't realize there was like three categories, and I'm in that third category. It was a performance, I think,
Yeah.
and because I'm not into competition. I don't want to compete. But anyway, it was funny. I look, it's like, hey, I won. And then the second week, hey, I won. The third week, it's like, hey, how the hell did Ken win? But yeah,
Do we
it's
need a
good.
showdown between you two?
No, we need to do that. Well, there's certain things that he can do that I can't do, and there's certain things that I can do that he can't do. And it's like my issue is my knees, which wasn't a problem until I started doing CrossFit. And his issues, apparently he's having shoulder issues. So, like, I can do the pull-ups better than he can, and he can do squats way better than I can.
Do we
So,
need a pull-up squat?
competition.
Yeah. Do a couplet
Yeah.
and Greg, get on that.
Yeah.
And then we'll just see who the fittest is.
Yeah. But yeah, he's, and then, like, what was it, Friday? I think it was Friday, we had to do 400-meter run. And I did the first one and beat Jay in. So it was Thursday. I beat Jay in. But after the second round, I just did 300. And Ken was doing the full 400. So he was killing it there. But
Nice.
good. Yeah.
And what's the workout that, or I'm sorry, the movement that when it comes up, you're just like, all right, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. It's not my favorite.
Well, there's a lot of those. Just a warm up. Like, I am not flexible at all. Playing Little League in the Bronx at Fireman's Field, I remember everybody leaning on my back trying to get me to touch my toes. I still cannot touch my toes. So those squats where you grab your toes and then lift your butt up in the air, nah, I can't do any of that. But I stretch as best I can. I just can't. It was like even like toes to bar. Yeah, I can get my legs up, but I can't touch the bar. My knees might touch the bar, but that's not my toes.
That's awesome. So yeah, for part two, we'll have to go back and do the New York part because I guess technically you're a halfback.
Yes, I am a halfback.
Yeah.
Grew up
For those that don't know, you grew up or part of your life was in the north, then you moved to Florida, and then you move halfway
halfway back.
back. So if you didn't know that, but yeah, so you're a full halfback.
Full halfback. Proud of it.
Yeah, there you go. You don't have the accent. You must have lost that
Well,
in Florida.
it's kind of funny. I'm Puerto Rican, so I speak Spanish. I never studied it, so I don't know how to read or write it. So when like Nuvia comes in and she starts blah 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 blah, it's like you need to slow down. But I go to Puerto Rico, they say I have an American accent. In New York, they used to say I had a Spanish accent. I go to Florida, they say I got a New York accent. Now when I go to New York, they say I got a Southern accent. So
You can't win.
I can't win.
That's awesome.
I'm unique.
Well, I'm learning. I'm on my third week of Duolingo for Spanish, so I'm be there, and we can very slowly converse with each other.
Well, when Nuvia started coming in, I guess Greg was trying to do the movements by name, so like a squat clean. It doesn't translate the same. So it's kind of funny. It's like it's better just to demonstrate it. But like when you say clean, it's okay, you gotta clean. The
Clean,
word
yeah.
is limpia, is like you gotta it's that's to clean, not you know. So it has a different meaning.
Gotcha.
So
That's it. Well, I haven't gotten that far. We're on, right now I'm on Yo Como Manzanas. So that's as much as I got. So I still have a long way to go.
the trick is to go, because I mean, it was okay, my Bronx. I remember kindergarten. At home, we only spoke Spanish. I go to my aunt's house to be, for babysitting. I'd be at my aunt's house. They only spoke Spanish. And they always called me Little Louie, Ricito. I go to kindergarten. They're doing roll call. Angel, Angel, and in English. And I'm like, who's this angel guy? And then finally the teacher goes, your angel's like, oh. But there was so many kids named Angel there. I mean, there was like Angel R1, Angel R2, and Angel R3 in one class.
Oh, wow.
So it was a common name until we moved to an Italian neighborhood, I don't know, Long Island, and the little girl up the road, her name is Angel. It's like, oh, Angel's a girl's name. It's like,
Time for change.
oh.
That's cool. All right, well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I
This.
appreciate it. And part two, well, we can
Yeah.
converse a little
Yeah.
bit and
Send your questions.
oh yeah,
We'll
definitely.
put them
There.
up. We'll put them up on the board, on the
Well,
whiteboard.
I have an email that I will remember here in just a second as soon as I open my little notebook. MNCmindset@gmail. So yeah. Ask the questions, I'll compile them. We'll get back to you in a month or two. And then,
Yeah, I got
yeah,
stories to tell.
write them all down,
Oh, God.
all the cool stories.
Yeah.
We'll just have story time.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, one more thing, one more thing. So I'm gonna put you on the spot for this one. My ending is what's one quip, idea, thought, anything that you want to put out in the world. Doesn't have to be something we covered. Yeah, I put everybody on the spot.
Well, one dream has always been to put 12 kids in the saddle and travel the country teaching history, which I already got a taste of it, but man, it's like there's no money for it.
Yeah,
It's like
unfortunately.
there's so much. I see money being spent left and right. I mean, you see it with the politics going on, and it's like we can do so much good with kids now. And then, shoot, wow.
Yeah, well, that's one of my soapboxes too, so we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Well, when I win the lottery that I don't play. You know, it's what, 600 million or whatever. I definitely kick you in for a mil. How
Okay.
about that? All right. All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
Bye.